Renegade Health Radio.
Renegade Health Radio. This is Kevin Gianni with Frederick Patnode. What's up, Fred?
Oh my God, Kevin, I'm so happy that it's summer. I just got to say it. You know, I know you've been living in a nice climate year round, but here it's been a horrible winter and now it's summer and it's awesome.
What does that mean to you, summer? Like what, like tell me what that manifests.
Well, it means, I guess it's different where you live, right? Because if you live in a place where summer is just slightly warmer and maybe drier, like in California, then maybe it means you're going to go to the beach and the water might be warm enough to swim, you know, if you're in Southern California or something. Maybe it just means people are going to go out, it's vacation time. But here it means it's like a special time, right? Because it's only 3 months a year. So it means you see everybody going out, you see people, the entire city booming and exploding with activity and festivals. And it's a very festive time. So for me, that's what it means. It's a very festive time. And I really like the colors of the summer. So my favorite seasons are spring and summer. I love spring too. I love the rain. I don't mind the rain. I just don't like short days and lack of sunshine and so on in the context of the fall or the winter. So I just love this entire period of the year, you know, starting with April and then just the, you know, the process of getting to summer. It's like, it's quite, it's the flowers, you know, blossoming and so on. It's just perfect. So that's what it means to me. It's a special time of the year.
I had a taste of it when I was up in Vermont just maybe about 2 weeks ago, running the Tough Mudder.
Oh yeah, so how did it go?
Tough Mudder. It's more like mild mudder.
Did they make a mild version for you? They said, "Well,
they knew I was going to be old. There." Yeah. They knew I was going to be there, so they said, "You know what? Here's the easier path." No, that was not. And you know, I think probably when Tough Mudder started, maybe like I don't know how many years ago it started, but when it's maybe 5 years ago or 6 years ago or whatever, I imagine it was a little bit more difficult and a little bit more rugged. When we were there, there was about 10,000 people running the race over the weekend. It's not really a race because there's no timing. No one ever takes you don't know by the end of the race like what time you completed it in, unless you just timed it on your own stopwatch or you know, figured out what time you left and then what time you finished past the finish line. But there was just a lot of people there, you know, and we trained pretty hard and we thought that we'd be running the whole way and everyone would be running the whole way, but it just seemed like we trained pretty hard and we were running and a lot of people were walking, which is fine. It's, you know, just, it is what it is, but it just, I don't know. It seemed more like a circus than it did a kind of like an adventure outdoor race kind of thing. So that was kind of
doesn't it suck to think you're doing something in the avant-garde of culture and then you realize that it's just become a fad and everybody's doing it and you're no longer like the special person for doing something that nobody, you know, cares to do. Like, you know, before green smoothies were like this fringe thing. And now it's like they're going to sell green smoothies at McDonald's pretty soon. I mean, it's awesome, but you know, there's something to be said about things becoming commercial, right?
Yeah, being on that bleeding edge. And then if you're like kind of, you know, if you kind of have that, if you're in there before anyone else does it and then someone else starts doing it like McDonald's, you're like, oh, they're not doing it right, you know, or it just doesn't have the same, I don't know, the same counterculture appeal to it. So I feel like the Tough Mudder is kind of been over its threshold of counterculture. Now it's kind of, it's I guess dumbed down a little bit for the masses, which is fine because it allows people to escape from their everyday lives to do something that's fun and, you know, interesting. I mean, there are two kind of major criticisms that I have of it. The first one is that I really wish there was more team type activities. There was one team activity, it was called the pyramid, where you had to essentially stand on each other's shoulders, leaning against this ramp, and people would climb up on you. And that was probably the most fun activity out of all of them, because everyone was involved, everyone was talking, and you know, being a part of a team, which I think is kind of maybe a core essence of the Tough Mudder. And the second one was the lines, man. It was just like being at an amusement park, you know, where you're trying to get on the roller coaster, and you got to wait 30 or 40 minutes to get on. Some of the obstacles had, you know, 30, 40 minute lines, and two of them we actually skipped past because it just, we just didn't want to wait for that long. So yeah, I mean, it was fun to do, you know, with friends. So if anyone's interested in doing it, you know, check it out, do it with friends, don't do it alone, and just know that it's not as tough as, you know, they would like you to think.
Well, it's good for maybe the entry point is lower now, but I'm sure they're going to come up with something extreme pretty soon. So
yeah,
I have no doubt that seems to be the, you know, the trend nowadays in fitness. Is before it was like easy fitness. That's how that you'd advertise fitness, is like, here's a workout you can do at home in 5 minutes and you're going to lose 10 pounds, you know, or something ridiculous. And everybody sold you on the idea of fitness being easy. And that went on for a while. And now the trend seems to be like, this is going to be tough. You're going to suffer. You're going to, you know, there's this whole trend of having like a military instructor, like drill people like in the army, and people pay for that. They pay for a weekend of torture. And that, you know, that is the new trend. Like, you want to tell your friends that you did something tough. You don't want to tell your friends like you lost, you know, 10 pounds, you know, with the ab master doing nothing. Like, you know, so, I mean, I think the trend is kind of part of it too, why it's popular.
And I think maybe, you know, we're both males, so we have this kind of male perspective of fitness. And I think maybe 5 years ago or 6 years ago, before Hudson was born, and before, you know, we had established a, you know, a family and roots and a team in our businesses, like, I think I would have wanted to escape and you know, prove to myself that if anything happened, I could be in like a militia, or like, you know, kind of be this tough, you know, pseudo military type kind of guy. But these days I've kind of lightened up a little bit, and you know, I don't need to prove myself, and what I definitely don't need to do is injure myself doing something like that, so then I can't do the thing that I love the most, which is running. And so, you know, it was one of those bittersweet kind of situations where I was like, yeah, I want to do this with my friends, but man, there's no way I can injure myself. I do not want to in the least bit even tweak an ankle or a knee or a hamstring or anything like that, because I know that my bread and butter in terms of fitness is running. And so I need to be really careful and make sure that I take care of myself really well. So it was one of those things where man, like if that had happened, I would have been pretty miserable about it.
So it's about being smart.
Yeah. And being, and for me, be, you know, kind of being okay with the fact that I'm a wimp, you know, and just saying, you know, I don't need to prove to myself that I can jump over a wall anymore, or prove to myself that I can do 600 burpees, which I've never done before, just so you guys know, or prove to myself that I can do all these, you know, kind of, you know, strange or interesting or unusual type, you know, activities.
I have a question for you, Kevin, because you mentioned running, and I've been running again. I started since I got back. By the way, for people, I got back from a trip. I went to Ireland, where it was cold. So that's why I've been enjoying the summer here. But I've been running since I got back. And I'm wondering if it's okay to run every day. Like, I like the idea of, you know, I'm going to run every day for a while in the morning, but not for a long period of time, you know, just, you know, a few kilometers at the most. So is it okay to run every day? And then maybe some days you don't run so hard, as long as your overall, you know, training session is reasonable and your overall volume is okay.
It depends on, it kind of depends on what your intention is with your runs. You know, I mean, how hard are you training? You know, are you training to be faster, or are you just running to run? And usually running or at least, you know, some of the smarter running coaches, they kind of just look at running as number of footfalls. It's almost like a baseball pitcher. You know, they look at the number of pitches that the pitcher has. It's called a pitch count. And right around, depending on the pitcher, maybe 90 to 100 to 110 is where they pull the pitcher, just to make sure that that, you know, the pitcher can have longevity throughout the season and maintain their arm strength and maintain their accuracy. So with running, it's almost like the same thing. It kind of just depends on footfalls. So the shorter, so you can run every day. I mean, there's you know, there are plenty of people who run every day, but there are people who run every day. I think the statistic on runners who get hurt, I think it's like 50% of runners every like 3 or 4 years or something like that. I mean, you have to check up on that stat, but it's insane, you know, how many runners get hurt. But I think it's because they push themselves too far and they say, I run every day, I run 6 miles every day. Well, that's a lot of footfalls. But if you were to cut that back and you were to say, hey, you know, I run a mile or 2 miles, you know, every day. I mean, that's pretty, so 2 miles a day, 7 days. So that's 14 miles versus 6 miles a day, seven, that's 30, 35, miles. So, you know, 14 and 35, I mean, that's a huge definitely. Difference. So it's not necessarily, can you run every day? It's just how much time on your feet can you have? And I think that's the better way to look at it, because we all could benefit from getting our heart rate up every day. I mean, that's something that we could do and can benefit from. But it depends on the distance, and distance equates to footfalls.
That's what I've been thinking, exactly what you said, because I thought, you know, I can start running every day for like a couple of weeks, and then I'll go back to the gym because I haven't been going to the gym. And then I'll add a few workouts that are going to be weight, you know, workouts. And on those days, then I'm not going to run, you know. And then, you know, I kind of get back into shape using that technique. But I'm not, you know, my total volume will be pretty low because I'm only going to run like 2 miles a day or something like that. So 2 or 3 miles a day. So it's not going to be too bad. But if, yeah, thanks for the clarification. I was kind of wondering, you know, even though I thought about this before, but I've never done it. So
yeah. The other thing about runners too, is that the most runners are fairly type A. It just seems to come with the territory. I don't know what comes first, the type A or the running, but I'm pretty sure it's the type A. But the thing about type A people is that they tend to want to push through and push through anything. And in many ways, that's a given gift. You know, it's a benefit because they push through hardships, or they push through challenging times, or they push through difficult projects. You know, they get things done. But on the same time, they also push through their body's signs of warning. So for you, Fred, and for anyone else who's doing this, just check in, you know, and you know, see how you feel. And for instance, me, through the Tough Mudder, there was a lot of downhill, and you know, I kind of just bail on the downhills, meaning I just run, you know, as fast as I can and make sure that I maintain my balance and my you know, my body angle. But you know, I was starting to feel a little bit in my knee, and the last couple runs that I took at home after the race, I just felt a little tightness around like mile three, maybe 3.5 miles. And so what I did is, so well, I'll just run 3 miles, you know? And so I just cut back a little bit and my knee doesn't hurt at that 3 mile mark. And eventually maybe I'll go up to 4 miles again and just see how it feels. 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, I just would have blown through it, ignored it, and just said, hey, well, eventually I'll just run through it. And then the pain will go away, which, you know, it's not the smartest way to look at it. But you know, that was my type A kind of, you know, I can do anything, my body's invincible kind of mindset. And as you grow older, and again, this is not to say, oh, as you grow older, you're going to fall apart, your knees are going to break, and you're not going to be able to run, you're going to have to walk with a walker, that sort of stuff. I mean, that's not true. You know, that's a belief system that can be changed, and it's a belief system that can be also adapted by just being smart and listening to your body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. Well, that's good. We started with a little fitness here. I wasn't totally planned, but you talked about Tough Mudder and it kind of led to that. So you want to move on to the next topic? Because we were talking before the show that you're getting the same questions over and over again, right, Kevin?
We get the same questions, and it's good because that means that you know, that people are are asking them, number one, the people listening, and they're asking questions. And I think that health has this universal kind of thing where we're just, the same questions come up over and over again because we kind of have the same thoughts, and we're much more similar than we are different. And so we kind of wanted to address some of those questions today.
Fred, on the Renegade Health Radio Show.
Renegade Health Radio. So Fred, what do you think? Which one do you want to start with here? We have like four or five that we'll probably get through like two of them based on the way we chat.
Let's start with the juices and smoothies thing. People always ask, you know, is it okay to juice, and what's better, juicing or smoothies, or can you do both, or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So anything around that is a common question.
Yeah, this will be a quick one. My belief is this, just like my belief on exercise, is you do the one that you like, the one that's easiest to do, and you enjoy it, and you don't listen to anyone else, period.
And don't juice too much sugary stuff.
Yeah,
like
okay.
Carrots and fruit. I think that we can agree on that.
I'll give you that. I think you can do carrot juice, but when it comes, but you know, if you're just drinking straight apple juice or you're drinking straight orange juice, you may be susceptible to some blood sugar spikes.
Well, I had a client lately who I looked at their menu, and they were consuming 600 calories worth of carrot juice every day.
Oh, wow.
So I said, you know, this is too much. Like, don't drink so many liquid calories. You know, if you want a juice, make it mostly vegetables. And, you know, you can, of course, flavor it with a little bit of fruit juice or carrot juice, but don't make it the base of your juice.
Interesting. It's a lot of carrot juice.
It is a lot of
carrots. How many carrots is that? There must have been orange.
It depends on your juicer, but I have no idea. I would say it's over a liter of carrot juice.
Yeah, how many calories are in a carrot? So like 40 maybe? Maybe 40?
Yeah, something like
plus
that.
Plus or minus 10 calories,
on
right?
Side, yeah.
Depending on the size. But, so 40 calories in a carrot. So that's 8, 9. That's a lot of carrots, man.
Probably a nice bag of carrots every day,
yeah.
Being juiced.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot. But you know, I mean, there are worse things. You could be eating, Dunkin' Donuts every day,
and blending them to get more in. So smoothies are good. Juices are good.
Juices are
not
good.
Too much
They're
fruit
both
juice.
Good. The second one the second question that we get a lot of, and I don't know if you get as much, Fred, but it's just about supplements. It's like, you know, what supplements should you take? You know, are there good ones? Are there bad ones? And what are the supplements that, like, if you had like four to recommend to everyone, what would they be?
Well, what do you take, Kevin?
Me? Well, I'm taking some interesting ones right now. So I take my holy basil every morning. That really helps like even out my day. And if you guys haven't heard about Fred or I talk about holy basil is an amazing Ayurvedic herb, very good for calming, very good for stress. And it's just one of my favorite herbs to take. It's a tonic herb. You can take it every day. And for me, it just gives me kind of cool, calm energy throughout the day. So I take my holy basil. I take a pregnenolone right now. I'm dosing on pregnenolone just to help raise some of my levels. I take a green tea extract just to kind of experiment with it right now. I have a desiccated adrenal gland supplement, which helps for my adrenal glands. As you can tell, you know, this is based on what's happening here. I tend to have kidney adrenal kind of not burnout, but excess. I take an omega-3, a CO2 extracted omega-3, so it doesn't go rancid. And then I take vitamin D, and I should be taking vitamin B12, but I forget, and I probably should take a shot soon, get an injection soon. So those are what I take.
Good. Yeah, that's a good summary. So out of those, which ones would you say would be necessary for a lot of people? You know, some of them are particular to your your goals and so on, but which ones would you say are good for most people?
You know, for me, it always comes down to, hey, we want you to save money. So get your blood tested so you know what your levels are. So a lot of people are deficient in vitamin B12. I think it's about 40 to 50% of the population are deficient in B12. So, you know, flip a coin, you know, you're the one or the person sitting next to you is, you know, at least in terms of odds. So chances are, you know, you could benefit from B12, but you can get a simple test and you can determine if that's true or not. And then you can take B12. So B12 is a big one. Vitamin D, again, 50%-ish, maybe even 60%. Flip a coin. It's either you or the person sitting next to you. So vitamin D is good too. But the thing about vitamin D, get a test because, you know, you might not have to pay $19 to $30 a month on that particular supplement. If you just happen to be one of those people whose vitamin D levels are good. The third one is omega-3. I would guess probably, I would need to see some stats on this, but I know that there's a large part of the population that's deficient in omega-3 as well. Again, get a test. The omega-3 index, the test that we have, is great. It's not that expensive. You know, you can save X amount of dollars every month. If your omega-3 levels are fine, and if they're not fine, you can take them and then take the omega-3, test again, and you'll be up to, you know, where you want to be, and then you can scale back a little bit and still save yourself some money. So the cost of the test, at least the omega-3 test, about $100. You know, over 3 or 4 months, if you didn't need omega-3s, then, you know, your test is essentially paid for, and then you don't have to go on and continue to take omega-3s. So those are the three that I would say are, you know, super important for people to be watching out for. There are many others, but those are three that kind of, you know, we've just seen across the board deficiencies in with most, not most people, but maybe 50%, maybe 60% of people.
And it turns out that those are the only three that I take, Kevin.
Yeah.
Although I'm not taking any at the moment, like nothing. Because the summer has arrived, so I'm not taking D. Maybe I should still be taking it, but I kind of took a lot over a few months just to kind of bring my levels up. And B12, well, I've been taking it, you know, throughout the winter and so on and the spring. So right now I'm just not taking it. And omega-3s, I was good on my last test. And then I'll test it again to see if I need to start taking it again.
And do you find that happens to you where you'll take supplements for like 3 or 4 months and then you'll like just kind of fall off and then pick it up again and then fall off again?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I just don't think about taking supplements, you know. it's just I have to put the supplements like in a location where I'll be reminded to take it, you know. And maybe the solution would be to buy one of those dispensers that people use to take pills, you know, based on the days of the week, and then it becomes a habit. And of course, people who don't know you, they think you're on all sorts of medications, yeah. But then you're just taking your supplements. But, you know, there's something about the compartmentalization of things. And, for example, for a while, I was taking supplements provided by a company that I did some genetic testing with them, and they gave me like a month's worth of supplements. And one of the supplements was vitamin D, and very good level of vitamin D. But what they had was a system where you had a little like plastic container for every day, like a tiny, yeah. It was formed into a chain. So you just rip off one and then you open it and it's got all your supplements for the day. And I'm sure, you know, they have a big margin of profits over that just for that convenience, right? But if you can create that sort of system yourself, I think that can be valuable to just remember to take them.
Yeah, I think that whole idea of having it somewhere where you'll see it is like 80% of success of it is attributed to that fact. It's like we have our supplements right next to our hot water pot and the Vitamix. So literally, like, you know, I put on water for tea in the morning and then I start making the smoothie and then I wash down my supplements with the smoothie. And that's what I do. It's right next to there. If it's not there, guess what? I don't take it. And so for anyone else out there who's listening, who says, oh, I can't get this health thing right. I can't take my supplements. I keep forgetting. Everyone does it. It happens to so many people. It's not just you guys. It's everyone. It happens to everyone. And if it doesn't have to happen to someone, it means they're like, they have this robotic type personality, which is cool. You know, more power to them. I wish I could be that way.
Finally, because you mentioned the blender, one common question we get is which heavy duty blender is best, Vitamix or Blendtec? And your answer is, Kevin?
Vitamix.
Yes, I vote for Vitamix too. You just need the plunger.
You need the plunger.
And by the way, this is not an endorsement.
No.
In fact, they should pay us money,
they
but
should.
They don't. Yes.
You and I together have probably sold a lot of Vitamix blenders.
And never got anything for.
Which is fine.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a good product. It will last you for the rest of your life. It's literally indestructible and it does the job, right?
This is one of those things where it's so much worth it to spend the extra money. I can't even begin to like explain how much worth it is. You know, because before we got our Vitamix, we went through three blenders that we bought for like $100 at like Sears or, you know, who knows where, and maybe Oster. I don't know what kind they were. And we burnt out of each one of them. And so that was $300 that we'd spent. We spent $400 for our Vitamix. I don't know how much they cost now. Maybe we bought our Vitamix maybe 7 or 8 years ago. So, and it's still going. So, you know, maybe $200. So we had to spend another $400 for the Vitamix. We could have just spent $400 and then, you know, we would have been fine out of the start. The other thing about Vitamix is that, man, if that thing breaks, we had the variable speed on ours started to go. Emery called them up. They sent us a box to ship it back in, and they sent it back within like a week, and it was perfectly new, beautiful. You know, they redid the, I don't know, motor or whatever. And the thing will probably last for another 14, 15 years. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good product. Definitely. I think they're about, the lowest price you can find right now is about $450.
Okay.
So you can get them at Costco or on Amazon or Elance, not Elance, eBay. Elance, that's a different podcast. By the way, we have another podcast, the Do What You Love Lifestyle Podcast, and it's about making a living on the internet. So that's why we talk about Elance as a website we talk about.
Yeah, just check your right. Google Analytics and you'll see. That obviously meant nothing. It was just talking shop talk for Do What You Love. But yeah, so, you know, if you're on the fence about that investment, you know, we really think the Vitamix is better. The Blendtec, it just seems, you just don't have as much control. And sometimes if you don't put enough liquid in, you know, it can just kind of get stuck and not really blend that well. And I don't know, it's like driving a manual car versus a automatic car. And sometimes in the snow, when the going gets tough, you want a manual stick shift. You want to be able to control how the car's going. So that's what I think.
So thank you guys. And please leave a review on iTunes. We've got a bunch of reviews so far, but we need more to kind of get this podcast known. So yeah. Go to your iTunes account and just say you love it. Say you don't love it.
I think we need 35 reviews.
Yeah. In total? Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think there's some of you out there who like this podcast who haven't put a review in yet. Do us a favor, give us a review. And if you do give us a review, send us an email. We'll send you something cool.
Yeah, a little gift.
Yeah, info@renegadehealth.com. We'll send you a gift. If you put a review up, though, we're not just going to send you a gift if you don't. Well, maybe we will. I don't know. Try us. Bye.
Talk to you next week.
Renegade Health Radio.